Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are to here for the next 3 hours together up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, a monumental Tuesday in college basketball to react, recap, and then set the stage for a Wednesday evening in college hoops, now just 25 days away from Selection Sunday, when the NCAA tournament in 2024 will be revealed. One final day of no NBA action during the All-Star break before the home stretch picks up and begins tomorrow, and huge news in college football that we will break down for you moving forward in the reimagined and changing landscape all around the country. DRS 3 hours, a ton to get to. It's going to be a good time.
Another step, another day, another minute, another hour closer to March and March Madness, which, again, we can't wait for that. The NBA, as you said, will be back on Thursday, but we're enjoying this little hiatus, focusing on college basketball, and also gives us some chance to touch a little hockey, a little baseball, a little NFL action in the meantime. So the topics won't stop. Just keep on watching. We got you covered.
We do that each and every day live right here on the Early Line. And although it's the offseason for football, the headlines will always be there. In the National Football League, the franchise tag tender window opening yesterday. And in college football, the expected change now confirmed to the format of the 12-team expansion for the college football playoff beginning next season in 2024, when we see sweeping changes to the landscape all around the country. Before we dive into those exact changes, let's make sure we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. Hour number one on a Wednesday live right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. So, with the dissolution of the Pac-12 and really only having four power conferences remaining in college football, we thought we would see a change to the 12-team format of the college football playoff from 6+6, six conference champions earning an automatic berth to the CFP, and six at-large bids to 5+7 in the CFP Board of Governors, confirming that yesterday afternoon. Five automatic qualifiers, five conference champions will earn an automatic berth to the college football playoff beginning in 2024, seven at-large bids at stake starting next year in college football.
And right. Here's what I have to understand. And Mark Zinn is going to join us a little bit later in the show to really expound on this topic. We're never going to get it right. Even look, I'll put my commissioner's cap on. I'll get it perfect. But seemingly, I haven't gotten that phone call from the NCAA yet that needs my help. Two was not good enough. Four is not good enough. Eight's not good enough. 12 is getting there. Eventually, we're going to get up to 24 teams. It's not a perfect format, but you can agree on this, Ben. Once we get to the playoffs next year in mid-December, it is going to be so much more fun talking about 12 teams and four teams and the fifth team and the eighth team that got left out. So it is a market improvement, but there's still some room to grow here, Ben. I don't love the format, but I do really like it, if that makes sense.
There are a lot of questions to be ironed out entering 2024 and beyond when the CFP TV contract is up for renewal in 2026. You don't need Mark Zeno. You have me, Donnie, right side. We will break down the new CFP format, the 5+7, later on in this opening hour. Huge Tuesday in college basketball. Top 15 tilt in Omaha, Nebraska. 15th-ranked Creighton hosting the unanimous number one team in the country and the defending national champs, the Connecticut Huskies. UConn riding a 14-game win streak, the longest active streak in the country, into last night in downtown Omaha, Nebraska. And it came to a close. And came to a close in crushing fashion. Creighton wins big, 85-66. The Blue Jays winning outright as a 2.5-point home underdog. Donnie, the first ever win over an AP number one team in the history of Creighton men's basketball.
Yeah, a huge win by them, and quite frankly, probably saw that coming. A massive win over the weekend for UConn. They go on the road against a hungry Creighton team, and they got blasted. By the way, I thought this game would stay under the total yesterday. Didn't see the game in the second half, but woke up and saw UConn got 66 points. I go, Ben, that's a stone-cold under right there, only to reveal 85 out of Creighton. That's a big performance there. Man, the Big East is something special at this point. A 14-game winning streak up in smoke here for those UConn Huskies, but there's time to get back there. Still the number one team overall, but my goodness, what a performance by Creighton at home.
When the Jays shoot 14 of 28, that's 50% from beyond the arc, and Steven Ashworth leads the way with 20 big ones. You're going to see some points on one side from Creighton. Plenty more reactions coming later in this opening hour. We keep diving through college basketball. The other top 25 matchup we had last night out in Provo, Utah, 25th-ranked BYU hosting 11th-ranked Baylor, and the Cougs were booked as a 4.5-point home favorite despite being the lesser-ranked home team, and they make good on that number, covering and winning 78-71. BYU a big victory over the Baylor Bears.
Bombs away by BYU, and this is one of those games I actually thought would be able to go over the total. Had a great start, Ben. 42-37 at the break, but a lower scoring second half did me in on that one. But the one thing I did expect was bombs away from three-point line. BYU did that at home, handled their business as the 25th ranked team in the country.
36 attempted three-pointers. The Cougs made 14. They take the second most threes in the country each and every game. It was an interesting day in the SEC. We talked about the bubble yesterday for Texas A&M. They got beat at home by Arkansas as an 11.5-point home favorite. Elsewhere, we thought we might see chaos in Columbia, Missouri, with Mizzou up at the break, up by 5 early in the second half before 5th-ranked Tennessee rallies. The Volunteers come back in Columbia 72-67, getting the win over Missouri. The Tigers do cover as a 9.5-point dog.
I mean, I think the game was basically 2-1 after 10 minutes. It was unbelievable how poor of an offensive start these two teams had. But Tennessee turned into more like we like to see out of Tennessee with 46 points in the second half and a victory here. By the way, that line was 11.5, and Tennessee actually had that number at around 13 points late in that game, weren't able to hold on. That's a cover for Missouri, but a big win for Tennessee, and that could have been a disastrous night for them.
Huge matchup out in the Mountain West between the two teams tied at the top of the standings entering last night. San Diego State, the reigning national runner-ups, taking on Utah State. The Aztecs, the ranked team, but a road underdog. And yet again, that stands the test of time as Utah State gets a big victory at home, 68-63. They cover as a 2.5-point home favorite.
It doesn't always work, Ben, and it's not a foolproof strategy. But in the last 2 weeks, if you were just line reading on what doesn't make all that much sense, you are cashing big time, which include Utah State yesterday with a 5-point win over San Diego State, who previously pounded San Diego State, crushed Utah State. They returned the favor last night.
I will tell you the trend you need to pay attention to in that format in just a little bit. Let's round things out by going to a big one in the NHL. The Stanley Cup favorites, the Colorado Avalanche, against the President's Trophy favorites. That would be the Vancouver Canucks. The Avs get a big victory, 3-1. DRS, the hockey guy, will break that down later on, as well as Pete Jensen joining. And some news around the National Football League. One of the best special teams players we've ever seen in the history of the league, Matthew Slater of the New England Patriots, announces his his retirement yesterday. Back to a huge Tuesday in college basketball. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A historic night in downtown Omaha. We go all around the country in college basketball as we enter the zone. Only 8 days away from the end of this month in February before we get to March. Only 25 days out from Selection Sunday for the NCAA tournament in 2024. And it felt like March last night in downtown Omaha at the CHI Health Center in downtown Big O. Top 15 tilt, 15th ranked Creighton hosting the number one team in the land, the UConn Huskies, who had won 14 straight games. This week named the first unanimous number one team in the AP poll all season long. All 62 votes go to Connecticut. The defending national champs had a rough night in Omaha, and Creighton shut the lights out of the basketball. 85-66. The Jays roll and win outright as a 2.5-point underdog. The first ever victory for Creighton, Donnie, over the number one team in the country in program history.
Yeah, the handicap yesterday for me, Ben, wasn't from a side perspective because, you know, UConn was in a tough situation. We always see how professional sports play out, and quite frankly, college as well. You get that big emotional victory at home, you're riding high, then you go on the road in a different environment across the country to play a quality opponent, and they come back and get you. Now, granted, 85-66, I didn't see that coming here. Maybe a close win for the Creighton Blue Jays, maybe even UConn pulled that one out. But I did actually like the under in this game, and quite frankly, it worked out just for one side, chasing teams off of the three-point line. Creighton can do that. They did a great job. 3-16 here defending against UConn. But the question is, when you're at home, we know this, Ben, you shoot better at home than you do on the road, particularly in college basketball. 14 of 28 from three-point range. And the UConn Huskies have been known to play good defense at the perimeter on the three-point line, forcing you to try to score down low. It didn't matter. You shoot 50%. And when you shoot close to 30 total three-point shots, you're going to do damage. Yeah. And they did that running away. You got that first half lead, 43-29. You didn't let it slip here. That's a great win by Creighton here and a big-time win for the Big East here outside of UConn.
It is really interesting, right? A short turnaround for UConn, 14 straight wins. Would that carry over all the way into March in the NCAA tournament? You actually hope not. You'd rather get hot and build a new streak at that point than try to win 26 straight games or whatever it would be en route to a second consecutive national championship. UConn will be just fine, but the part I find interesting, Donnie, is the margins we have seen in these monumental Big East matchups in the last 4 days. On Saturday in Hartford, Connecticut riding high, 14th straight win, 81-53 over fourth ranked Marquette, a 28-point margin, the most ever we have seen between two top five conference opponents in the history of the AP poll. And then UConn goes on the road to the Big O, and Creighton wins by 19. They haven't been the most exciting games coming down to the wire here in these monumental tilts in the Big East. Creighton, meanwhile, an underdog for the third time this year. They were 0-2 against the spread entering last night to get the outright victory. UConn, in its last 10 seasons since last beating a ranked team on the road in January of 2014, 0-21 against ranked foes on the road. But you'll take that if you've won two national championships in that span as well. A huge victory for Creighton, a team to pay attention to as we get to the NCAA tournament. Ryan Kalkbrenner, the man down low for CU. Stephen Ashworth, the Utah State transfer, 5 of 13 from deep last night. 20 points for Ashworth against Connecticut. Meanwhile, the Huskies, again, will be just fine. 24-3 is still the mark for UConn. They are still the favorites to win a national championship at a plus 500 price. They were minus 104 yesterday, Donnie, to reach the Final Four. An odds-on favorite in February to get to the Final Four. They move back slightly to a plus 125 number.
Yeah, and by the way, also, a guy like myself who haven't bet any futures just yet on the UConn Huskies, you got to like this. Like, if you say, you know what, I know how good a basketball team they are. Yes, you're going to take losses in the regular season. You play in a very, very good conference. So how about another loss in the regular season for UConn for me? Yeah. How about a second-round exit in the Big East tournament as well? Because then those 5-to-1 prices, Ben, turn into plus 650, plus 750, plus 850. And if you like him, you get him at a better shot here. I don't think anybody's sitting back on, you know what, Ben? I don't know if I'm sold just yet on UConn. Let me see him run the table the rest of the way in the Big East and also the conference championship. And then when that price is plus 350, now's the time to take them because they're hot. No, we think opposite here. Give me a couple losses down the stretch. Give me an 8-to-1 price. I'll jump right back in on UConn and have a great time with it.
I don't think there's a lot of value in the national title odds anywhere right now because you're getting numbers that you would see by the time we see the bracket revealed when the path to a national championship and Final Four is more important than what your seed line is or what your regular season record was. So I agree with Donnie. Have that price go a little bit longer for Connecticut and have full belief that the Huskies have been as dominant this year as they were a season ago, certainly in that six-game run to a title last April in Houston. So as we keep it rolling, we go to the top 25 tilt in Provo. 25th ranked BYU, 11th ranked Baylor. BYU closes as a 4.5-point favorite. A total of 153.5 stays just under. But the Cougars bounce back from a dismal loss over the weekend in Stillwater against Oklahoma State. They shot the three better last night, 14 of 36, 78-71. The victory for BYU over Baylor. They cover as a 4.5-point home favorite.
How many times do we talk about it, Ben? The ultimate equalizer is that three-point line. Just take a look at Baylor. If I would have told you before this game, hey, Ben, by the way, I already got the advanced statistics here on this game. Check this out. Baylor's going to go on the road and shoot 49% as a team from the floor. You probably think they win that basketball game going away, but they only shot 5 of 20 from three-point range. Vice versa for BYU, shooting close to 40% as a team from three-point range and knocking down 14 three-point shots. That's what happens in college basketball. That's why the analytics come in and say, hold on, how can we be so dominant? You just need to make your three-point shots. And also, Ben, at times during this season, coming into conference play, the best three-point shooting team in the nation was the Baylor Bears. But now getting into Big 12 play, we've talked about this already, they haven't been that same type of assassins behind the arc as we've seen previous. Now, they've had some good shooting nights, yes, but again, it reared its ugly head, 5 of 20, only shooting 25% from the three-point line. That's going to get you beat specifically against a team that loves to shoot the three-point shot, shoots it at volume, and makes it at volume as well. Big win for the BYU Cougars, but I'm still waiting for that Baylor Bears shooting operation to sort of get untracked once again, same way we saw it back in November and December.
A combined goose egg for Ray J. Dennis and Jacoby Walter last night for Baylor from deep, 0 of 7. Baylor returns home to Waco on Saturday, where they will host second-ranked Houston, a huge one in the Big 12. We now go out to the Mountain West, where like Houston experienced on Monday night at home against Iowa State, we saw a similar scenario in Logan last night between Utah State and San Diego State. Two teams entered with the same record in Mountain West play for that top spot, tied at a 9-4 clip. Utah State now 10-4. San Diego State now 9-5. The Aggies take sole possession of that first place spot in the conference with a 68-63 victory. The unranked team, Utah State, was a 2.5-point home favorite against the ranked team, SDSU, and that unranked home team covers a short spread, winning by 5.
Yeah, gutty battle here, staying under the totem, probably rightfully so. We talked about how good both of these teams were on defense yesterday, with San Diego State being the number one team in the Mountain West there on defensive with efficiency here. Take a look at the three-point line. Didn't help neither one of these institutions out here, either one, I should say. 3 of 19 for San Diego State, 7 of 22 for Utah State, but this is just returning the favor. San Diego State got them the first time around. Utah State gets them back. They're now 10-4, the Utah State Aggies here. Looking good here, maybe with a regular season conference championship on the horizon, Ben.
A very hefty favorite now at minus 195. Yep. SDSU entered last night as the slight odds-on favorite to win the Mountain West. Now to the trend. When you see a home team booked as a favorite who is unranked against a ranked opponent, they are now 7-3, both straight up and against the number in the month of February. We tell you to read the lines. Read those lines. The change in the college football playoff format for 2024. A debate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
2024 in college football features monumental and landscape-altering changes all around the country. Conference realignment, where the Big Ten now has Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington. Oklahoma and Texas added to the SEC. Utah, Colorado, Arizona State, Arizona making their way to the Big 12. The Pac-12 is dead. The Pac-2 remains. Oregon State and Washington State with a scheduling alliance with the Mountain West Conference. And some of the big guys in the ACC, looking at you folks down there in Tallahassee, not all too fond of their league any longer. And because of all of the realignment, we get the changes to the college football playoff with the expansion to 12 teams underway this upcoming season. Donnie, for most of the time, when the CFP announced it was going to expand from four schools to 12, there was a 6+6 format back in the days of the Power Five, when it was the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC. Obviously, it is not a Power Five any longer. So the 6+6, the six conference champions earning automatic berths, leaving room for a group of five highest-ranked champion to make its way into the CFP as well, has now been changed to 5+7. It was reported, it was rumored, it is now confirmed. The CFP Board of Governors yesterday unanimously voting in this change of format for the 12-team expansion to the college football playoff, 5+7. So, again, as we break this down, that means five of the highest-ranked conference champions will earn an automatic berth to the college football playoff. That is not specifically a Big Ten champ gets in, an SEC champ gets in, the ACC champion makes its way in, but with the format of college football, the now Power Four, and that leaves room for a group of five champion like the Mountain West, like the Pac-2, like the MAC, like the American, so on and so forth, and seven at-large bids available for the college football playoff. At the start of the show, Donnie, you said you liked the change to 12. You were not too fond of this format. Make sense of that for us.
Yeah, it's pretty simple to me, which what they're explaining to you is it's a better format than what we have, which, again, is why I say I liked it. I don't love it. But once again, they're trying to explain to us, Ben, you're not going to get the top 12 teams in the country to battle in the college football playoff. We still have to hold some sentimental value for some random, you know, non-Power 5 school that wins and goes 12-0, and just like you saw Liberty. And it's a terrible endorsement of what we saw last year. If Liberty would have showed up and beat an uninspired Oregon team, maybe you would have had that momentum moving forward. But Oregon basically showed up and goes, you know what, let's just go one last time for the boys, have some fun, and blast Liberty here, when you know Liberty was up for that game, and Oregon really wasn't. That's going to play into it next year. But also, I'm going to go back to my days as what I actually like to see on my TV. It's why we love the NFL format, because you have the theater behind it, Ben. Outside of the Super Bowl, which is a neutral site game, every single game is played with home field advantage, which adds that incredible theater to the TV. When I saw the rankings come out, the first thing I asked was, okay, that's pretty cool. Top four teams get a bye. But how about the top four teams get a bye and don't get to play on their own campus, where they resume, let's just say, at the Fiesta Bowl for Alabama, or the Sugar Bowl, let's just say, for a team like Washington? That doesn't make any sense. You almost are at the stage now, Ben, where money is so big in college football, where a team goes, man, we actually don't want to be in the top four. We would like to actually host a home game here. Let's just say Texas gets the five seed. We can go and sell out 110,000 tickets at home, have an unbelievable atmosphere, bank $30 million, and then move forward here. Because what you're telling your home base to as well is get ready to pay like three different times to watch your team in the playoffs away from home, which includes the national championship game. I think we're missing the boat here. I love the fact that the championship game itself should be at a neutral location. That's what it is. That's what we're used to in American sports, particularly in football. But the single fact of the matter is we're getting robbed of, let's just say, Alabama facing Penn State at home in December, or vice versa on the road right up to the championship game. The home schools would make so much money out of it. The theater would be absolutely incredible to watch on TV. Notre Dame taking on Alabama. I mean, the home and home environments would be awesome there. So again, I like the scenarios. It could be perfect, but I realize it's never going to be perfect with the type of people who are picking these type of environments here and saying, you'll love this year, the Fiesta Bowl. You're going to go like 3 bowl games as a top seed? Stop it. It's ridiculous.
In my opinion, I am a fan of expansion to 12 teams. I am a fan of this format. I believe it is the best conclusion for what we have with the altered landscape of college football. My favorite thing is those on-campus games in the opening round to keep the incentive to finish 5 through 8 in that seed list of the 12 teams that make the college football playoff to host a game on campus. That is going to be incredible. Playoff games in college football on a home campus in front of some of the most electric atmospheres and storied venues in the sport, that is a beautiful thing. And that is a part of it as well. 5 will host 12, 6 will host 11, 7 will host 10, 8 will host 9. The top 4 teams get an opening round bye, and as we go round by round, that's when we get into the 6 bowl games that make up the New Year's 6. It will now be the college football playoff rotation, and the national championship will always be played at a neutral site. So I think it's a little bit difficult to understand maybe this format in terms of how we are seeing it based on the new landscape in college football. So the great thing about what we do here is the utilization of the odds to make this pretty clear. Now, there is a Power 4, perhaps in college football, as the Pac-12 says goodbye, the Big 10, the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC. But really, there's a Power 2. The big guns that control the sport, the Big Ten and its partnership with Fox, the SEC and its partnership with ESPN/Disney. When you look at the national title odds for next year, the 8 best prices all hail from the same 2 leagues. That is the SEC and the Big Ten. Georgia, Texas, Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, all from the SEC. Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, and Penn State, all from the Big Ten. Notre Dame is also 25-1, just so that's in there. But 9 of the top 11 prices are either from the Big Ten or the SEC. You can see where the power is controlled in college football and where the stakeholders will want their say, Donnie, in any new evolution of the college football playoff.
Sure, and again, we are close to another, and I say close as relative terms. Like, it took a long time for us to just have a mythical national champion into a BCS. It took literally like 40 years of bowl games in order to finally get that. But when we talk about the money structures here for the power conferences, they want more of their teams in. So as we sit at 12, I'm not going to be surprised when that next television contract comes up and the TV networks go, hey guys, why don't you make this 24? We'll double your profits here. They're going to do that here. So as we get down the line, we are going to get more of these teams in. But the one counterpoint that we always talk about is we're still going to have those issues. Do you remember it was just 2 teams in the BCS? We argued about 3. And then we had 4. We'd argue about who should be 5 and 6 with Florida State this year. Those arguments will get less and less. But also, it's still going to come up to a time where you say, hold on, man. LSU might be the best team in the country, even though they have 3 losses because they lost heartbreakers throughout the season in a tough SEC. And then we start saying like, well, you know, Colorado State deserves to be in the national championship picture because they ran the table. We're always going to get those arguments here. It's a better form from what we've had. But also, Ben, I know you took a look at this as well as I did yesterday. How long is this season going to be extended? Now, granted, I love a long football season because it keeps the great content here. But I think the NCAA missed the issue here. I see the national championship game next year on January 20th. Why are we waiting so long? Like, that's primetime NFL playoffs when we always have that dead period to start December. Like, I get it, that first week of the season, the first week of December, right? You have the SEC championships, and that's where it's supposed to be. Why aren't we starting a week later here? I don't understand the delay here where you have the quarterfinals on January 1. Forget bowl season can happen. This is not bowl season for me, Ben. I don't picture the playoff picture and the playoff games as bowl season. Why are we waiting for that?
Yeah, I think that might be a change coming our way in a little bit. Not a full 2.5 week bye until we get to those opening round games in the college football playoff. But it's all about money, DRS, as you well know. So again, 5 plus 7. 5 automatic qualifiers, the 5 highest ranked conference champions. That is not necessarily the Power 4 plus 1, but that's just the way it will be structured based on the metrics, strength of record, strength of resume, strength of schedule. If you win a conference championship in the Big Ten, you're playing in the college football playoff. If you win a conference championship in the ACC, you are playing in the college football playoff for now. Donnie, I used the national championship odds on the lovely FanDuel Sportsbook yesterday to say what the projected playoff would be entering 2024. And you will see the disparity in the numbers. We don't have conference title odds out just yet, but I used the shortest national championship price. So Georgia has the best price to win the SEC, or out of the SEC, they are the conference champion. Ohio State in the Big Ten. Florida State has the ninth best number, but it's the best out of the ACC, 22-1. Utah and K-State tied for the 17th best price to win the national championship, shortest two numbers out of the Big 12. They get those automatic qualifiers. Liberty has the shortest price for any non-Power 4 school at 500-1 to win a title. That is the 45th. Best number. They would be that other conference champion that gets the automatic berth into the CFP and into that 12 seed. That means the at-large berths: Texas, Oregon, Bama, LSU, Michigan, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, or Penn State. They have the same price. So if you do the tallies there, that's five SEC teams, three to four Big Ten teams, regardless if you give it to Penn State or Notre Dame, one Big 12 team only, one ACC team only, and one Group of Five Liberty out of CUSA.
Yeah, and just to keep that quickly here, sometimes I do wish the computers would just come into it and spit it out and give us the top 12 teams regardless of whatever they won. I think it'll be a better format, right? But it's college football. They're going to mess up somewhere, and I guess if it means teams like Liberty making it in, we'll have to deal with it, Ben.
And that might be where the format begins to change moving forward. More on the CFP later. The NBA All-Star break next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One final day of the NBA All-Star break. Today is the last day without games until we get back on the floor around the association tomorrow. And we have said it many times throughout the All-Star break leading up to All-Star weekend in Indianapolis. This is not the true midway point of the NBA season. Every team in the league has played at least 53 games, which means that for every team in the NBA, Donnie, less than 30 games remain for this regular season out of 82. This is the home stretch. This is the playoff push. The postseason is on the horizon in the association. So on this final day of the All-Star break, we play what is more likely. And we start with one of the hotter teams in the month of January and struggling slightly into February, into the All-Star break, the New York Knicks, who dropped four straight into the break, five of their last six, but that followed a nine-game win streak for the Knickerbockers. They now have the fourth-best record in the Eastern Conference. If the season ended today, it does not. New York at Madison Square Garden would host the opening round series in the playoffs. So what is more likely? The Knicks win 55-plus games. That's a 15-1 number. Or the Knicks win the Eastern Conference. That's plus 650, third best price on the Knicks.
Yeah, more likely to happen. You just take a look at the odds up on the board. Obviously, it's going to be a long shot for 55-plus games. Yeah. If you're doing the math there, the Knicks have 27 games remaining left on their schedule, which means they'd have to go 22-5. Can they do it? Yes. But I'm going to say it's more likely they actually win the Eastern Conference. Now, how could you say that? The Celtics are out there. The Milwaukee Bucks are. I understand that. But if you're telling me right now also that the Knicks down the stretch would go 22-5 or better, you're saying, like, yeah, there's a legitimate chance they actually can win the Eastern Conference because they're the hottest team in the NBA down the stretch and they're healthy and playing good basketball here. So for me, I don't think they're going to go 22-5 down the stretch. So for me, there's probably a better chance at the plus 650 price that they win the Eastern Conference, get a break here. Maybe some injuries happen for them. They play good basketball. I think there's more likely a scenario than that, but it would be crazy if the Knicks did pick up 22 wins on the final stretch of the season. That'd be crazy.
I do not believe either of those things are going to happen. As Donnie said, the margin down the home stretch of the regular season would be razor thin. And New York doesn't have the easiest schedule left. They're right in the middle of the pack. 14th most difficult, 16th easiest, however you want to slice it, out of the 30 NBA clubs here down the home stretch. But it does make sense, and I understand why we posted the 15-1 number, because the Knicks win total updated at the break, Donnie, is 49.5. The over a slight bit more juice at minus 115.
Yeah.
So to get 50 plus wins would be minus 115 for New York as well, which I do see happening for the Knicks. And when they are playing their best basketball, they are going under. I mentioned the 9-game win streak for New York, under in 8 of the 9. They have lost 5 of their last 6 entering the All-Star break, over in 3 of those 6. That is Tom Thibodeau basketball. This is a really good one. One that fascinates me, with a focus on the upstart Oklahoma City and their star player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. What is more likely? SGA with the second best number at the break, plus 210, wins the NBA MVP award, or the Oklahoma City Thunder secure the number one seed in the West? It's plus 290. OKC, second best record currently in the West, only a game and a half behind Minnesota.
This is a great correlation, because typically if you're going to finish number one, which means you had your superstar player playing unbelievable basketball down the stretch. But if I had to pick one, and I do, it's going to be the Thunder to secure the number one seed at that plus 290 price, because it is a better price than SGA taking down the MVP at plus 210. And also, there is a world where Nikola Jokic is the best player on the planet here, and he's going to win that MVP, yet you still have OKC playing good basketball down the stretch and overtaking the Minnesota Timberwolves, if that's who it's going to be that they have to cross over to get that number one seed here. So both of these things can happen, but I'll take the better price point at a plus 290 and just say, you know what, we'll let the chips fall. Love myself some SGA out here at the same time, but also OKC can still win the West here, and also he cannot be the MVP. I'll take the 290 price here, Ben, on that one.
We have talked about those four teams atop the Western Conference standings. Minnesota 39-16, best mark out West. Oklahoma City 37-17, a game and a half behind the T-Wolves. The Clippers only a half game behind OKC. The Nuggets only a half game behind LA. All four of those teams separated by only 3 games as we are about to embark on the stretch following the All-Star break. Of those four teams, Oklahoma City, the easiest remaining schedule around the Western Conference of those four, third easiest from the Western Conference just in general. Can I parlay them? No, I cannot, but I think it's a correlated thought. If Oklahoma City ends the regular season as the top team in the West, that is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's best chance of winning the NBA MVP award.
Yeah, exactly. And look, there's still a great chance that he can take that down. But again, asking handicappers to take a better price point on something I think might have a slight edge, that's always the way we're going to lean. I would love to see OKC, by the way, get that number one seed and also have SGA as the MVP. I think it would be fun. But I think the taller task, as we probably can both agree, that just getting outside of injury, I mean, there's a couple really good basketball players out there that even sit behind those numbers there for SGA. So I think that's a little bit more of a long shot. Give me OKC to get that number one seed.
Nikola Jokic is the odds-on favorite to win the MVP award at minus 125. It's been such an interesting race, given the injuries to Joel Embiid, who has now missed 20 games for Philadelphia, eliminated from hitting the 65-game minimum for the 76ers, and it's not like he's coming back game number one following the All-Star break for Philly. Is there enough voter fatigue to keep Jokic out of the MVP winner's circle once again for the third time in the last 4 years? Maybe. His numbers this year, not even as good as a year ago when he finished runner-up to Joel Embiid. I still think if it plays out as we have seen so far, and both teams finish in the top four, that being Denver and Oklahoma City, Nikola Jokic probably gets the nod for that MVP award. How about two teams we always expect to be conference contenders, and this year have some ground to make up following the All-Star break? The Lakers 30-26. They sit in the 9 spot in the Western Conference. Golden State, winners of 5 of their last 6, entering the All-Star break, a game above 500, 27-26. 10th seed right now in the Western Conference. What is more likely? The Lakers to miss the playoffs, it's a plus money price. The Dubs to miss the playoffs, it's minus money in the favorite outcome at minus 134.
Both teams tied here, Ben, in the loss column, which is interesting, but also the Lakers have played 3 more games, have 3 more wins here. So technically in the actual games back, it's only 1.5. That's easily they can make that up. But also, you still got to take a look at how you viewed the Golden State Warriors coming into the season and how they sit at basically just past the midway point is where we sit now post All-Star break. I think more likely to miss the playoffs is still going to be the Warriors. They still have to win those games. It hasn't been a perfect season for them. And quite frankly, maybe they're a little bit better off than right now. now than where they were even a few weeks ago, playing good basketball heading into the All-Star break. Draymond looks like he's back in good spirits here. Maybe Klay Thompson finally realizes, you know what, to help this basketball team, I might just be better not being a starter and coming off the bench and adding that veteran presence and scoring punch that I know I can give the team and light it up fairly quickly here. But I'm still going to go with the Los Angeles Lakers to make the playoffs there. For my vote in this one, that minus 134 for the Warriors to miss the playoffs, that's where I'm going here. The Lakers have the lead right now. I know how locked in they will be. And also, if there are ever any conspiracy theories, Lakers and LeBron in the playoffs are always a good thing. So if it comes down to the Warriors and the Lakers, I'll give the Lakers the slight nod here. So I'll go that direction.
Now, I do want to make a clarification as not to post any false numbers and have people bet something that's not available. That's the make playoff price for LA. Not calling out our boys in the back, but just want to make the clarification. That's the make playoff number for Los Angeles at plus 104, minus 128 for the Lakers to miss. Still, it would be more likely based on the odds for Golden State to miss the Western Conference playoffs. I actually think it's the Lakers more likely to miss. I think both teams end in the play-in tournament, but I think there is a better chance for Golden State. A lot of ground to be made up. They sit five games back right now with Phoenix and New Orleans. Those two teams have the same record right now in the five and six spots in the NBA's Western Conference, 33-22. But Golden State, the easiest record in the easiest remaining schedule in the Western Conference outside of the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Grizz not really involved in the playoff race. So any of those playoff teams, Golden State, the easiest remaining schedule here down the home stretch. What's more likely as we compare a Western Conference long shot and an Eastern Conference long shot? The Dallas Mavericks, the hottest team in the Western Conference entering All-Star weekend, winners of six in a row, or the Miami Heat to win the Eastern Conference? Dallas to win the West, 13-1. Same exact price for Miami out East, 13-1. What's more likely?
It's a great question with a simple answer for me. If I ask myself, Ben, who is the best team in the NBA right now who you think is going to win the championship? It's the Boston Celtics. You look at the two teams and the options that we have. One's the Mavericks. One is also the Miami Heat. Only one of those teams, Ben, plays in the Eastern Conference, and that's the Miami Heat here. So if I'm just looking for defaults here, it's going to be, boy, I got to get past the Celtics before I even get to the NBA Finals. I don't think that's going to happen here for the Miami Heat. And also, we do talk about how stacked and tough the Western Conference is. I get it. But how do you win these big playoff games? Have a couple superstars at any moment that can go off, and you have that with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic here for the Mavericks. Even price points at 13-1 on both sides, but in one, I get to avoid the Boston Celtics to win this bet. That's where I'm going with the Mavericks here, Ben, for me. Give me them at a 13-1 price in the West.
I'm going to trust the Heat culture. I think the Western Conference this year is so much more loaded. Mm-hmm. I do not expect Dallas to really make any noise in terms of reaching a conference championship series or maybe even beyond the opening round. For whatever reason, even when regular seasons haven't been all that great, like last year when the Heat were the eighth seed out East, they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. They have been in the Eastern Conference Finals three of the previous four NBA seasons. I will trust that. I don't know if it happens again, but in terms of what's more likely, give me Miami at plus 1,300. Now, from the playoff contenders to the bottom of the barrel, there are two teams that failed to reach the double-digit win mark at least 10 games by the All-Star break. The Detroit Pistons, who had the historic losing skid, 28 straight losses earlier this season, and the Washington Wizards. The Wiz, 9-45, Detroit, 8-46. The Wizards enter the All-Star break losing eight in a row. So what is more likely? The Pistons finished with the worst record. It's a 5-1 price for that number one overall pick. Of course, the worst record does not guarantee the first overall pick. The NBA lottery has a say in that. Or the Wizards to finish with the worst overall record. What is more likely, Detroit or Washington to be the NBA's worst this year?
Yeah, catching up with some bad basketball teams, but it feels like if you're not really paying attention to the standings, you look this way, like, what are you talking about? The Pistons are so far and away the worst team in the NBA. It's not even close. No, it is close. It's within one game here. So I'm going to play the contrarian and say, you know what? I think the Wizards are actually the worst team for the Pistons, even though the Pistons seem to get all those worst team headlines here. So I'm going to take the 500 price and the worst record to be with the Washington Wizards, because they are absolutely dreadful, and I think they pass the Pistons.
That is the right call. It is the Wizards. The Pistons are starting to figure it out. Figure it out, Ben. Are you crazy? They're 8-46. They lost three straight entering the All-Star break. The Pistons covered in 12 of their last 16 before the All-Star break. Monty Williams has those boys playing, and they won four of their final 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Four of their last 11 games entering the All-Star break. Historic winning marks this season for Detroit. The Wizards will have the NBA's worst record. More updates around the association coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some NBA drama before the All-Star break that will have ramifications afterward. And maybe drama is a little bit too light for an actual physical altercation that led to an arrest in Phoenix before a game between the Pistons and the Suns prior to the All-Star break. If you remember the story that we laid out here as we round out this opening hour on the early line on this Wednesday, before a game between Phoenix and Detroit, Drew Eubanks of the Suns got involved in an altercation with Isaiah Stewart of Detroit as the two players walked from the parking lot into the arena in the Valley. It led to a physical altercation where Isaiah Stewart struck Drew Eubanks in the face and was arrested and then released. An update to that story from Shams Charania. You can see him on FanDuel TV. The Phoenix Municipal Court has set a February 23rd court date for Isaiah Stewart on that misdemeanor assault charge. A crazy story, DRS, in the NBA.
No, it certainly is a crazy story overall, because most of the times we see teams fighting on the court, the police usually don't get involved here. But it is interesting that the police did get involved. And also, was there an opportunity to drop the charges? And again, it is a misdemeanor. We're probably not going to hear too much, maybe some community service and a fine from here. But it's interesting to see one of those realms where usually, even if it's just two players getting into it, whether or not they're at the arena or not, we don't hear much about it. It's interesting to see that this actually went this far and we're going to have some charges here. We'll see if they're dropped or not at this point, but still serious nonetheless.
Yeah, very serious nonetheless. There will be ramifications outside of that for Detroit's Isaiah Stewart. Again, he was arrested, then released, but issued a citation for that altercation that the two players experienced walking in to the tunnel. Not even in the locker rooms or outside of the floor, certainly not during the course of the actual game itself between the Suns and the Pistons. That does it for hour number one, live right here on this Wednesday on the early line. Off-field drama as well, but on social media in the National Football League. Is Justin Fields done in Chicago? His Instagram might tell you that. Hour two starts in less than a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.